is appreciated and leads to great things.
The third version of the iPad has a faster processor and a much sharper screen. The U.S. consumer prices rose by the most in 10 months, up 0.4% due to higher gas prices. This is NPR.
WCVE Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now on the line from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Hello there, Jeff.
Hi, Wade. Go Rams.
Right. On the evening of January 11th, Governor Bob McDonnell advised his newly empowered fellow Republicans in the General Assembly, quote, don't overreach. And to Democrats, he counseled, quote, don't obstruct. Give us a scorecard on how either side followed his advice.
Well, it is safe to say as this hello, I must be going General Assembly leaves town only to return on Wednesday that Democrats and Republicans are guilty as charged. The legislature is going to be back on Wednesday for another go at passing a budget, and these overtimes on budget writing are pretty much standard operating procedure now. And the reason for the latest holdup is obstructionist Democrats, as Bob McDonnell is calling them. In the evenly divided Senate, the Democrats are holding out for power sharing and big concessions from McDonnell, among them no sales tax grabs for transportation. And then, of course, on the overreach side, Bob McDonnell has endured several weeks of some pretty lousy press because of all these hot-button social issues that he says really aren't on his agenda. But, of course, he is signing them into law. That includes the requirement that women planning to terminate pregnancies undergo a mandatory ultrasound. That includes the rollback of the one handgun a month law and Virginia's answer to tuition tax credits. He's very big on that, and it has passed the legislature and is working is on his desk. Now, the problem for McDonnell, of course, and this gets to this issue of overreach by his legislative friends, is that all of these measures tend to expose Bob McDonnell for the conservative he really is. And, of course, he's been trying to come across as a candidate and as a governor and as a prospective vice presidential candidate as non-threatening. All of this has changed and changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, they'll be back on Wednesday to begin work again on trying to formulate a state budget for the next 2 years. One substantial thing the Assembly did seem to accomplish was a fix of the underfunded Virginia retirement system, but how likely is that to be a permanent correction to that problem?
Well, of course, this was one of the last bits of business, and it was done pretty much in the dark of night. Whether this really holds up is an open question. You know, we're frequently reminded that future General Assemblies are not bound by the actions of legislatures working today. But the idea here is to stop governors, Bob McDonnell, the most recent one, and General Assembly members over the past 17 or 20 years, to stop using VRS as a piggy bank. Remember a couple of years back, there was that big hole in the budget, $2.2 billion hole in the budget, and the legislature, encouraged by Bob McDonnell, helped themselves to, you know, $620 million from the retirement system. That's going to be paid back with interest. But under this supposed fix, the legislature commits not to do that sort of thing anymore, but it also requires some bitter and expensive medicine for employees. Future employees will be paying 5% of their salary towards retirement. There'll be reduced benefits after January 1, 2014 because of a 401k type plan that will be put in place. There'll be reduced benefits for employees with less than 5 years' service. And this is the big piece, again, the touchiest piece. It supposedly binds the legislature over the next year, 8 years rather, to pay the state's full share toward employee pensions.
We have just under 2 minutes. I want to ask you about the congressional redistricting plan, which was approved by the U.S. Justice Department under terms of the Federal Voting Rights Act. That clears the way for the two parties to have their congressional primaries in June.
And more to the point, these maps pretty much protect the 8 Republican and 3 Democratic incumbents in the state's congressional delegation. And as you point out, locks in that primary for June 12th. In particular, locking in the June 12th Senate Republican primary. Had the Justice Department not acted, had these been turned down, this could have been pushed all into August, which would have been a real aggravation for a lot of candidates, in particular George Allen. By the way, he submitted nearly 27,000 signatures to get on the ballot in June. Tea Partier Jamie Ratke threw in almost 22,000. Haven't heard from Bob Marshall, who's considered a real threat to George Allen. But remember, these candidates only need about 10,000 signatures to get on the ballot. But, you know, no one's taking any chances after Perry, Gingrich, and Santorum washed out for spots on the presidential primary ballot.
Right. About 30 seconds to discuss the role of super PACs this year.
Yes, a lot of Me Too-ism. George Allen's going to have one. Tim Kaine needled him over it. And surprise, 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 Tim Kaine's got one, too. This is a reminder of the very high stakes in this Senate campaign. The Virginia race could decide control of the U.S. Senate.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us each Friday morning at this time to analyze the Virginia political news. It's 8:40.